Now, when I do my planning for my trips, when I go on holidays or wherever I go, for me, it's always about the destination. There's an economy of time in my mind. I've got to get in the car or on the plane or whatever mode of transport it is, and I'm headed for the destination. I need to press on. Sometimes I have a companion with me in my travels who likes just to mosey along and perhaps like to stop and to enjoy some of the sights along the way. And I have to say I get rather impatient because for me it's about the destination. But I'm learning that the in-between bit, the point between the origin of my journey and the destination, is also important. Because in the journey, there are treasures to be found, experiences off the main road, sights that are not included in the brochures that hold delight and joy and offer insight and meaning. So I'm learning to enjoy the in-between bit, the journey as well as the destination. I recall a number of years ago I was at a beautiful place called Santa Casa in Queenscliff, and some of you will have been there on retreat. And it has a lovely labyrinth in the front garden. And on this particular occasion I thought, today I'm going to walk the labyrinth. And I did a little bit of reading about what a labyrinth offers, what it invites us to, and I set out on my journey. And it was so difficult for me to go slowly, because the idea is that you walk slowly and you just allow God to speak to you in the journey. But in my mind, I was focused on the destination, which for me was the middle bit, the very centre of the labyrinth. Labyrinths have one way in and one way out. You can't take a wrong turn. You just follow the path and in you go and out you come. And all the while you're surrounded by the path and you're held in this lovely space of contemplation. But I can remember getting impatient and thinking, if I just crossed over those rocks there and over that path there, I would get to the centre more quickly. And I had to just hold myself back and constrain my energy and effort to get to the centre and just to enjoy the journey. And as I stopped and as I slowed down, as I looked and I breathed deeply, I realised that it wasn't so much about the destination, but enjoying the journey and seeing the bugs and hearing the birds and feeling the breeze on my cheek and knowing that I was held in the presence of God. There's a writer called Macrina Wiedeker, and she wrote, "If I am slavishly attached to the previous moment, or if I'm already living tomorrow's moments, then I am not free for the moment of the eternal now." In reality, the moment of the eternal now, the bit between the previous moment and tomorrow's moments, the in-between moment, is where life is lived. The tricky thing is we can miss the gift of the eternal now, the in-between moment, if we are not present to it. Now, in our gospel story from Luke chapter 24, we read of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were in one of those in-between places, in-between moments. They were travelling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They had just experienced the most traumatic weekend of their lives. On Friday, they had witnessed the painful, humiliating, and violent death of their beloved leader, teacher, and friend. On Saturday, they had sat with each other and their friends in utter despair. And now it's Sunday, and some of the women in their group have visited the tomb in which their leader had been buried and found it empty. Some amongst them were talking about resurrection, but who knew whether it was a miracle or whether it was just a hoax? It was too soon to tell. These two hung around and waited as long as they could, but now they are restless and it's time to get going, time to go home. They'd lost much more than a friend. Their dream of what the kingdom of God would look like, the hopes and dreams around which they had oriented the last 3 years of their lives, the vision that had caused them to give up fishing and tax collecting in order to commit themselves to following Jesus, it was all gone. Not knowing what else to do, Cleopas and the other disciple who is unnamed start walking the road, walking away from Jerusalem with its pain and its lost hope, walking to Emmaus, going home. On the road, they are in between loss and possible gain, grief and possible joy, deep human suffering and perhaps resurrection, lost hope, and perhaps even a glimmer of hope. They are in this in-between place, in between life as they had known it and whatever was supposed to come next. And as they walked on the road in between, Luke says Jesus himself drew near, but they did not recognize him. It's difficult to understand why they wouldn't recognize him. Perhaps in his post-resurrection form, he looked different. I don't know. Luke actually says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So I ask the question, who or what kept their eyes from recognizing Jesus? Some versions of the scripture say God kept them from recognizing Jesus. I've wondered about that. I wonder if their inability to recognize Jesus with their physical eyes mirrored their inward unbelief in what the scriptures had said about Jesus. Perhaps they were kept from physically recognizing him so that the eyes of their heart could be opened first to Jesus who was in front of them. Or perhaps it was their grief that kept them from recognizing him. Grief-stricken and overwhelmed, perhaps all they could see was their pain and their sorrow. Or perhaps they couldn't recognize Jesus because they just weren't expecting to see him alive. Logically, rationally, he shouldn't be walking around. All that they knew, the stories they shared, the narrative they created around the events they had experienced confirmed their belief. Jesus was dead, and that was that. So this couldn't be him. Whatever it was, they did not recognize him. And I guess if we are honest with each other, we might say there are times when we fail to recognize the presence of Jesus alongside of us. They might be difficult times, times when we're bowed down with care, or times when we're distracted, or times when we're full of hope about other things. And for the moment, for the season, we fail to recognize Jesus present with us. Cleopas and the other disciple did not recognize Jesus, and yet he was there. He was with them right in the thick of it. And he asked them as they walked, "What are you discussing together?" You can almost hear the response dripping with scorn. "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened?" Even so, the two explained to him all the things that had happened, the prophet who was a miracle worker and mighty teacher, handed over to be crucified, their lost hopes, and then the disturbing news of the empty tomb. And then Jesus says to them, "Oh, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These two disciples, they knew the scriptures. They knew the writings of Moses and the prophets, but they hadn't put it all together. Perhaps in their distress, they had forgotten some of the things they knew, or they had misunderstood what they meant, or they couldn't match the things that they knew with the promises that the scriptures held and what they saw to be their current reality. There was a mismatch. Or perhaps going over and over the story again and again consumed all their energies and focus, so much so that rather than opening them up to the presence of Jesus in front of them, their musings led them away from him. Sometimes I think our discussions can be a little bit like that. What we talk about really does matter. Our endless discussions and debates can have us going around and round in circles and take up our energies and take our focus away or even occlude the presence of Jesus. Or they can lead us to Jesus. They can lead each other to Jesus. They can help us see the presence of Jesus as we talk about him, as we focus on the true and the noble and the right and the lovely and the pure. Cleopas and the other disciple almost missed the presence of Jesus. They almost missed the moment of the eternal now. But as they opened themselves to the stranger, their eyes were opened. I love that they weren't doing anything particularly religious at that moment of revelation. They weren't in a synagogue or in a Bible study or a prayer meeting. It was just an ordinary moment as they shared a meal with a stranger. But that ordinary in-between moment became infused with life. It became sacred, life-giving, for in that moment they saw the risen Christ. Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while he walked beside us? In the ordinary place, in the in-between places, between the highs and the lows, and the moments we look forward to and the moments we regret, in those in-between places, Jesus is present. On the road, sometimes when we least expect it, in the most unlikely of places, Jesus makes himself known to us. May we know his presence today in this place. May we know his presence in the ordinary moments of our lives. May we live in his presence in the eternal now. I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, stay with us, we pray, in every part of our journey. No matter how full of doubt or fear we may be today, through your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will open our eyes. Help us to see you as our risen Lord, in all your beauty and in all your loving power. Amen and amen. I invite the team to come and lead us as we sing together some beautiful words that speak about the fact that it's not only when we sense Jesus near that he is present with us, but he is present with us at all times, in all places, just as the two on the Emmaus Road experienced. Dear Lord, I lift my heart to thee, my helplessness I own. The way before I cannot see, I dare not walk alone. More clearly would I realize thy presence and thy power, not only under summer skies, but in the darkest hour. We each come into this place this morning with our own story. The story of yesterday. And our hopes for tomorrow. But we don't want to miss the presence of Jesus in the now. For this is the moment that we are living now. And however we come today, with whatever we hold today, Jesus is with us. And he walks alongside us. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us intimately, that you know our story, that you know how we are today as we sit in this place. We thank you that we don't have to explain it all to you, but you just come alongside in your beautiful way and journey with us. We pray that you might open our eyes, that we might not be so concerned about where we're going that we miss the moment. Lord, may you open our eyes to your presence, to your grace, to your love, to your provision, to all that you hold for us. May we joy in it. May we delight in it. May our communion with you energize us and draw us into your life, that we might be bearers of your life in us for others. Thank you for the gospel story. Thank you because Easter is not done and dusted, but the message lives on in us and unfolds in us. May it be so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.